to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
All right. During that break, my mic was a little bit open here. I do sing to that song that you hear, Real Talk Radio. It's Republic Broadcasting Network, folks. Real news, real talk, real people. You want to know why? Because you can handle the truth. That's why. My guest, Morgan Reynolds, on this fifth day of April 2006. We've ranged into economics for a few minutes there, and I'm glad we were able to, because Mr. Reynolds himself, well, he was a chief economist for the United States Department of Labor during the 2001-2002 George W. Bush first term. Evidently, Morgan Reynolds, you shouldn't have left because Georgie doesn't know what deficit spending is.
Yeah, it's really laughable. He's a conservative Republican. You know, he's never vetoed anything, right? The more the better. And, John, you ask about what I did. The chief economist title is pretty impressive, but more accurate would be economic advisor to the Secretary of Labor. And one of the important things I did was monitor daily the economy and distill it into a memo, good news, bad news for the Secretary of Labor, especially important when we had Numbers Day, which is coming Friday. It's usually the first Friday of the month. That's when the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out its employment and unemployment numbers. So I worked with the BLS. I had a couple of economists under me as well. And what was when I went there, I thought, well, this would be interesting to see the government at this higher level, and maybe I could even do some good. Well, it didn't take long for me to be disabused of doing some good. What I was, and any chief economist at Labor, or any chief economist, I think, in these government bureaus, at least under this administration, is you are intellectual armor. In other words, you know the game, you know economics, you know political economy, and you prep that your principal, in my case, Elaine Chao, who still is the Secretary of Labor, to protect them from making gross errors in the media, et cetera. And then I do all kinds of other secondary things. But that, like, for example, the Secretary of Labor is one of the trustees for the Social Security system. So I represented her in the negotiations about the annual report, you know, what the chief actuary does and things like that, which at first were kind of fun, all right, but within a year, I was ready to leave, and certainly 16 months is when I did leave.
You'd had quite enough because you got yourself into a job that you thought you could make a difference, and you were just being used.
Right, right, and it's well known that the Bush-Cheney administration really doesn't have any open debates within the administration about what to do, what policy would best serve America. Instead, it's how to do it, get it done slickly, and it's all about politics. When I was there, it was all about avoiding daddy's mistakes and getting George W. reelected.
All right,
that was the whole focus.
Okay, we'll take the break here. We'll be right back.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
By the way, the commercial that you heard saying that you can still buy your house, a $400,000 house with 1,000 gold coins, that's when gold was based at $400 an ounce. That is starting to go through the roof. It's bouncing right now up to 600. Morgan, any predictions on the gold and silver market out there?
Well, gold and silver and equity shares in gold and silver and oil. It's stuff that Bernanke cannot print.
Yeah, the alchemist could never change lead to gold, could they?
You know, silver is the one that is really got a tremendous upside. Of course, gold does too. But if you recall, back in 1980, thereabouts, when gold went to $850 an ounce from $250, silver went from about $5 to $50 an ounce at the peak. And silver is undervalued relative to gold by historic ratios. Now, that may not mean a whole lot, but the point is there's a lot of upside to silver. So I really like silver.
Yeah. There's a million and one question. I'm going to have you back, and we'll just do economic stuff in another program. But I want to get back into 9/11, and I keep sitting here, and I've been staring at this for 2 days. This is what McFadden gave testimony in the House about the Federal Reserve, and evidently nobody was listening. I wanted to ask you, And being in Washington, and I'm sure still having some ties to Washington, various peoples working within the government, why is it that when somebody has a good idea, that why are they squashed in Washington, D.C.? Is it are the members of Congress, as I refer to them as being the Congress critters, the senators and our congressmen, are they that compromised that they're blackmailable, that whatever, that the men, good men, can't come forward with good, strong ideas that will work for the American people? Well, what's holding this thing back? We've got over 500 people in Washington, D.C., supposedly representing our interests, but every year things keep getting worse.
Yeah, my version of this is these officials, the elected officials and the high bureaucrats all play within the 40-yard line markers. And if something, a great idea is at the 20-yard line, well, that's way out there on the fringe. So where those yard line markers are located is really for the country in general, and in particular the media, but, you know, the university professors, lots of people play into this, the clergy, influential citizens from all walks of life. And I recall a good example of this was 1993-94. I was with the Joint Economic Committee on Capitol Hill when the Republicans were in the minority, and I enjoyed that a lot more than the Labor Department because you could swing for the fences. You weren't the government. The Republicans weren't. And we just gashed Hillary Care, just bled it to death. And at first, a lot of people on the Republican side thought, well, oh, man, Bill Clinton's up there holding up this charge card. They're going to really railroad this. This is going to pass. It never even reached the scheme never reached a vote in either house, and because it was so big. And when I was there, you know, the only media that would call me would be like Reader's Digest or other kind of right leaning publications. They didn't care about the minority party very much. But when you're in the majority, okay, then they call you, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is that what are respectable policy notions are pretty closely circumscribed, but in a way that's encouraging because a lot of us outside the Beltway, us collectively, can help to move those yard line markers.
It's amazing to me. I am just in total amazement. We've watched the consolidation of power in Washington, D.C., just ever since the Civil War, since after the Civil War, Reconstruction, they got what the Federalists always wanted, centralized power coming out of D.C. They've got their fingers in everything. You know,
well, but it's also Wall Street. The money power is less visible. But, you know, these governments, a government like we have, has such incredible on-budget debt that every business day that they have to finance a new borrowing, they have to increase their borrowings to the tune right now running about $400 billion a year. And we have to borrow from foreigners because of our trade deficit some $2 billion a day. So the people who act as the middlemen and the financiers have enormous leverage over these governments. It's not visible. People think that the whole game is really a D versus R, but that is very superficial. The deeper power is the money power.
And there's been, let's get back into the, I could continue this conversation to the end of the program, but we need to get back into the 9/11 issue. One of the other issues that came out of 9/11 that was, well, the circumstance, why not take advantage of a circumstance such as that? And under George Bush's watch here, we decided that last year the war in Iraq was over with. Okay, but now it's the war on terrorism.
I thought it was over in May 2003 when he landed on that aircraft.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. My mistake. A couple of years ago,
right.
That's right, George Bush said the war is over. Well, now it's the war on terrorism. And George Bush's admission that it's going to be a 100-year war. And I'm watching the Supreme Court. And just the other day, a story came out from the Washington Post about Jose Padilla. Now, this was a guy that was supposedly a gang member in Chicago. They snapped him up. He had supposedly ties to Al-Qaeda, or as I call them, Al-Qaeda. But at any rate, they decided that this guy, he under the new policies here, coming out of Washington, D.C., and especially the Bush White House, that he was a terrorist. And so we're going to take advantage of the newly thing, the form thing. We're not talking about war footing here. We're not talking about Geneva Convention. Now we had to have a new classification calling these people enemy combatants. And what they did with Mr. Padilla is basically locked him incognito for over 3 years.
Right.
Even his attorneys cannot get in direct contact with him. They have to go through middlemen in order to do it. But the United States Supreme Court, Morgan, the other day said that we're not going to hear the Padilla case. And this, I went off the deep end about this, but
justifiably so, because he is a U.S. citizen.
Right.
They can do it to him, they can do it to anybody. They can hold you without habeas corpus, right to counsel, right to charges, to confront your accusers, and the whole protections of the criminal justice system.
Well, and by a 6-3 vote, the court granted the administration's, meaning George Bush's administration's, request not to review the case of Jose Padilla. Now, as you stated, this has ramifications for every American, because, you see, we weren't talking about prosecuting and detaining American citizens, because we're still supposed to have due process, speedy trials, as you said, habeas corpus, mm-hmm. The ability to confront our confusers, I said that the
right.
other day.
And we
had a system of justice. Now, law is supposed to be law. This is what the country is based on, is law.
Yes.
Fair and
right.
equitable law, and provable in front of God and all his people, and the judge.
A
and
government
the
of laws, not men.
There you go. But the United States Supreme Court, in that vote, 6-3, gave the administration their request. And they went on to admit that if this would have went to the Supreme Court, that chances are it would have been a 5-3 decision against the White House and their wonderful musings here about what they can do with a potential terrorist in this country, American citizens. Now, the United States Supreme Court, Morgan, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not some guy sitting in some padded university office here. I am not a constitutional expert, so to speak, even though we delve into the Constitution quite a bit on this network. But even from a layperson's point of view, this was one of the most draconian things that I think a United States Supreme Court has ever done or ever will do.
Well, I have two takes on that. One is that this is the historic behavior of the court in alleged times of war. They pretty much duck out completely in terms of the balance of powers and checks and balances, and fail to do their duty. A good example of this would be, of course, the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. And then here's one for you, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which reads, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment, shall exist within the United States." That's the short of it, okay? No involuntary servitude. Well, what about military conscription, the draft? That's involuntary servitude. And they danced around that and approved it. So look not to nine lawyers to protect our rights. We have to protect them.
Well, and unfortunately, but we have no right of redress anymore in this country. So we're strangers anymore in a strange land. I am absolutely incredulous as to what I see, what I...
Yeah, well, we've got to speak out. And ultimately, the people do rule when riled and informed enough, as you're attempting to do with the Republic Broadcast and Network, and I'm trying to do in my own way. And informed people are an irresistible force. And that's these politicians and lawyers, bureaucrats, etc., when we grow enough, we win. And they'll be muscling, elbowing each other to get in front of a well-formed parade.
All right, we got to take the break, and we'll open up the phone lines. Evidently, the information is captivating. They're not calling. 800-313-9443.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems. From increased energy to protection from free radical damage, xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
All right, we are back. Morgan Reynolds is my guest. Let me give out the websites here so we don't forget. WWW ST911, that stands for Scholars for Truth, ST911.org. The story archives for my guest today, Morgan Reynolds, can be found on lourockwell.com. And
I have a website now.
Please, give it out.
It's called nomoregames.net.
Oh, I like
there
it.
There is no triple W dot, by the way. It's just nomoregames.net.
Nomoregames.net. No more lies, no more weapons of mass distraction. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. You know, Morgan, I know you're old enough. When you were growing up in this country, we were still full of ourselves, full of the hope for a better tomorrow, the promise of tomorrow. That is the one thing that I see missing in people's psyche anymore. They have a defeatist mentality. They have no hope, no aspirations. They're just in survival mode for right now.
I think that's right. One of the books I used, I got a lot of positive feedback from Texas A&M students in the class because it was had an optimistic vision, and the 20-year-old they don't have that. What I had back then, and in the 50s and 60s, even the turbulent 60s, it was just up and away that somehow America's going to improve year by year.
Osmotically, that's what we believe, that that our parents were going to look out for our best interest, that they were going to leave us with the hope for a better tomorrow and a better life than what they had.
You know, the stagflation of the 70s took its toll. And then the Reagan vision buoyancy opened it up again, but people were still gun-shy about because of their 70s experience. And then the 90s, well, you had the Clinton era. We did have some real gains, but here again it was the artificial nature of the stock market boom. Real wages really haven't gone up in over 20 years on average. And here we are on the other side of a at least a NASDAQ stock market crash, and now things look terribly dicey financially.
Why, while I have you, why did they open up the stock market for worldwide stock sales?
Open up the stock market?
Yes.
What, you mean the New York Stock Exchange?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by opening it up. I mean, any stock listed has to meet these standards, and of course some stocks get dropped, others don't. Maybe you're referring to the kind of the international nature of so many corporations, and therefore their equity shares.
Yeah, I don't have
the international dimension.
Yeah, I don't have the story in front of me, but I read it a couple of weeks ago, and I was just astounded because I'm looking at the stock market. It's almost to the point where it was prior to 1999. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and I'm going, who are the dice rollers that are buying into the stock market right now?
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. In other words, asset prices are, at least on the, if you look at the Dow and the Russell and S&P 500, they are near their all-time highs. The NASDAQ is still below half of what it, its peak was pre-2000 or March 2000. But yes, they have come back a lot, and the main reason is liquidity. In other words, the Fed has printed so much money, and it's found its way into asset prices. However, you know, these asset prices are temporary, and what's going to crack them open probably we already noted, namely the dollar, which had a good year last year, actually. But once the dollar cracks and foreigners lose confidence in the greenback and less money finds its way into America, because we have virtually no savings and therefore no net investment, okay, we're dependent on foreigners for this net inflow of investment. So
that
would knock the props right out of our expansion.
What happens if these countries that are holding a lot of U.S. debt come knocking on Uncle Sammy's door and say, hey, I want to cash this in?
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, what do we give them?
More dollars that they don't want. And that's actually why they've accumulated them, because they know that their own actions are determining the value of the dollar, and it's holding it up. But one of them is going to crack, like you mentioned, the central bank in China. Well, all they need to do is stop accumulating. They got $850 billion in dollar-denominated liquid assets, mostly, you know, treasury bills. And once they say, no more, you know, we're drowning in this stuff, we're going to go with some euros, we're going to go with more commodities, we're going to do gold because we like that upside, we're going to do silver, then where are we? Well, then interest rates are going to be forced up because you aren't going to have these foreigners so eager to buy all this these new IOUs. And the government's going to have to pay higher interest rates. And guess who's on the hook for servicing that debt? You and I.
Yeah.
The taxpayers are.
The people that don't have any of the money.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you know, the wheels are going to come off.
All right. We're going to take your calls right after this break, and then we're going to get into your 9/11 80 minutes of unilateral disarmament here. And you make a lot of good points on this. And this can be viewed, this story, on LouRockwell.com. Or your new website, nomoregames.net. We'll take the break. We'll be right back with your calls right after this.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org. And keep America free.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Don in Ohio, you're on with Morgan Reynolds. Go ahead.
Good evening. First, I wanted to bring up the, that Tom Tancredo is going to be on Nightline tonight. So if anybody wants to watch the watch that show, he's going to talk about immigration or something like that. Secondly, to your guest, do you suggest that the way this country is going that people should invest in lead?
Lead? As in armor?
As yeah. In gunpowder, yes, and primer.
Yeah, well, I'm all in favor of firearms, private ownership of firearms. This idea that Halliburton or KBR is actually, you know, with this $385 million contingent contract with Homeland Security going to construct a series of concentration camps in our country, I think that's pretty much a non-starter because half the households at least are armed. And they aren't going to start calling on you know, John in the middle of the night and spiriting him off, and then Morgan, et cetera, and then Don. That's not going to cut it.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
All right, thank you. I appreciate your call. The 9/11, 80 minutes of unilateral disarmament, what did you mean by the title of that?
We had an outage, right? 80 minutes long. At first, DOD, or NORAD, said they didn't put a single plane up in the air until after the Pentagon was hit. gee, isn't that curious, right? Everybody knew we were under some kind of a terrorist attack because of the two hits on the Twin Towers, and they didn't put up a combat air patrol. They didn't do anything. Well, then that didn't sell very well. So the second lie was, well, we actually put up some interceptors, but the FAA didn't give us quite the lead time we needed, et cetera. And then the 9/11 Commission came in and had a third timeline, which was all about this bureaucratic confusion, pilot error, et cetera. So, you know, which lie is it? Do any of them hold any truth? But the point is, whatever happened, whether there was an explicit, nobody's come up with an explicit stand down order, but we, in effect, had a stand down. Now, they were running these war games, four war games concurrently, but General Myers, the traitor Myers, said, actually, we were better equipped than to respond. But there was no response. So we had, you know, what we paid at least $300 billion that year, and we had no defense. We paid $300 billion to DOD and had no defense.
We have, and it is amazing to me how the government. Where is the government here? I'd heard a couple of days ago that that the cell phone conversations from survivors were going to be made public, but only through the families that wanted to do so. Have we even figured out what families lost members on board these four flights?
Oh, yeah, that's a much disputed thing. There's lots of details here, but the first one is that the airlines, the two airlines and the four planes, they never produced coherent passenger manifest, which should be a routine matter, and none of the manifests ever included any Arabic names. So you go from there and you say, well, now we know, for example, I saw Barbara Olson at the Fox News studio in Washington, D.C. the preceding Friday, because I went over there with the Secretary of Labor to do this taping with Neil, what's his name now, the business guy, Cavuto, Neil Cavuto. At any rate, I saw her, and now she has disappeared. Supposedly she was on Flight 77 and made these cell phone calls. Well, researchers have tried to track down these deaths, these names, and it looks like some of those passenger names. Remember, each plane was had a majority of vacant seats. That was suspicious as well. But some of the names seem fake because they don't show up on the Social Security birth and death list. And then as far as the phone calls, well, Key Dudney up in University of Western Ontario in Canada has done these experiments with cell phones. And basically, once you get up at above 8,000 feet and are moving at any speed at all, the cell phones don't work. And certainly, your chance of connecting at 25,000 feet are zero, much less flying at 400-plus miles an hour.
Even if you do make connection with a cell tower, It because the speed you're traveling.
Right. It can't, the next tower can't pick it up
right.
Fast enough. That's right. And I've had a pilot try this who lives out in California. He just tried it with the latest hotshot cell phone, and he was 0 for 26.
Really?
On a flight, a transcontinental flight.
At what altitude?
At the conventional altitudes, you know, you're going 35,000 feet. He tried it at some lower altitudes, too, and never hooked up.
We go into the Pentagon, where 757 was supposed to make, and just the dynamics of this. And I've talked to commercial pilots about some of the astounding air maneuverings. They said that even if the pilots had the ability to do it, the planes couldn't have stood the stresses.
Right. Yeah. Apparently... the alleged maneuver with that 270 or 330-degree turn dive depends on which account the government is selling, would have had the pilot pulling 7 Gs, and he would have blacked out. And the 757, I just flew on one from Denver. It's a big plane. It's 200 passengers, and they even have an extended version. Must be 300 series. These planes are not built with this in mind. You know, they are not missiles or fighter interceptors that can pull these maneuvers. And remember, the air traffic controllers at Dulles Airport were all thought they had some military plane on their radar because of the maneuvers it was pulling. And then, of course, you have Hani Hanjour, who couldn't fly a lick, as his instructors say. None of these identified hijackers, nine of whom are still alive, had flown a big Boeing, and there's just no way they could. So that's typical of patsies. From Lee Harvey Oswald on, they are incapable of the crimes and the techniques, the methods that they are accused of using.
And supposedly. Now, we can only take this on face value, but I've been to the Pentagon. I had to go there for a meeting back in 1979, the latter part of 1979. And even then, security measures were pretty tight. They had cameras all over the place.
Right.
And that was 26, 27 years ago. But we're told that, well, there's no film available of this flight.
That will release.
That they'll release.
There's a lot of tapes of it.
That was my point. They've got tapes all over the place.
Right.
And what my point about this, Morgan, was that any time that supposedly you have these conspiracy theorists weaving these webs around subjects such as 9/11, the government has the perfect opportunity to come out and display their evidence that they were correct in their assessments of the situation and the facts surrounding the Keene Commission. They could put this to rest, put Morgan Reynolds or Bauman or Griffin or Jones or Bulow or anybody out of business, period. They could do it
right
overnight by releasing information.
Yes. But, of course, they can't two reasons. One is that to put out real evidence would point directly to them, so the perpetrators are not going to self-convict themselves. But the second thing is, it's hard for them to fabricate evidence at this late date, partly because of the wonders of the Internet. There are a lot of sharp minds ready to pounce and expose any fabrication they do. For example, they put out the five frames of Photoshopped artwork that supposedly showed what went into the Pentagon. You couldn't tell what went in, if anything. And they even had the wrong time date stamp on it. You remember that?
Right.
And so they, the FBI was there at that Sitco station that served only military personnel within 15 minutes to seize the tape. There was the one at the Sheraton Hotel that the employees were watching, and I'd love to interview them. They were amazed. And then there's a Virginia DOT tape or two that have been seized. And then, as you say, the Pentagon is the most tape building in the world. So they haven't the cover-up, the fact that they won't release evidence, of course, is strong evidence of their guilt.
I just couldn't imagine what it'd be like. George Bush must be one cast-iron bully to be able to sleep at night, because the hounds are nipping at his heels right now. I couldn't imagine being involved in something like this, and then just absolutely just, it seems like overnight, we've got fresh legs in this 9/11 issue. I'm sure that they would have hoped it would have died off by now.
I know. It doesn't have any longevity because it's so preposterous. And they can't even put anybody out to debate Charlie Sheen now.
Now that is
see,
astounding.
You or I would mop the floor with their lies. So they can't come out in the open and debate it. So it's true. We have them on the run, it's so lame. You look at past like the 60s assassinations that the government did from JFK, RFK, MLK on. Those were, in a sense, better. And they even had the Warren Commission, though everybody knows it was a fraud, the Warren Commission at least had witnesses testify under oath as opposed to Cheney and Bush holding hands and having a nice visit with no notes, no recordings. In other words, the obviousness of this. And it shows their contempt for the American public. The hubris of these guys are so arrogant.
Well, and I do believe that that's going to be ultimately their downfall.
Yes.
Is their arrogance and just this amazing attitude that they're in control, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We can either blackmail or kill off or do whatever we need to do to keep our story straight and take out all the detractors. But this is what I see the supposed war on terrorism, Homeland Security, and the Patriot Act doing. It's suppressing anybody that's challenging the government.
Yeah, well, the scariest thing is if they get hold of the Internet. But there have been stories like in New York Magazine or I saw one today, Men's Wear Daily, in mainstream publications where they'll talk about conspiracy theorists, but they point to a lot of good facts. The writers get it by their editors now, if you will. And more mainstream publications are going there in a disguised, you know, kind of a limited hangout. But the point is, any of this is good.
Could you imagine this scenario, Morgan Reynolds, that we have people in media's print and electronic, that good people that want to come forth with the truth? Could you imagine that happening?
I do believe it'll happen.
I hope that you're right, because
it's not that the mass media are going to lead. We're going to force their hand. It's all kind of hand to hand, and your network. There are all these fringe, if you will, alternative media, and we're all in touch with each other. There's just and the fact that the media, for example, doesn't want to do a national poll. Remember, we had a Zogby poll.
Right.
Jimmy Walter was the funder for that. But it just rocks people in the media because what they don't see in their own publications and entertainment shows, it isn't happening. But it is happening, where 49% of the of New Yorkers said, yeah, the government's not giving us the whole deal on 9/11. And if you go outside America, of course, it's even stronger. In Latin America and in Europe, it's hard to say exactly where. It depends on the exact question, but a majority of people know 9/11 was an inside job. I think that's pretty safe.
Well, I asked personally Peter Jennings a couple of years ago. I was up in New York, and I had a chance to talk to him. I cornered him for about 15 minutes. He was waiting for his limo to show up. And one of the last questions I asked him, and I didn't do kind of an in-your-face type of thing. I just chit-chatted, and he was interested. Well, what are you doing here, and what are you involved in? And I told him, and it was chit-chat back and forth. But when his limo started to pull up, I asked him one final question. I said, with all the disinformation and all the stuff that the media has put out, you know, do you think they've been lying all along about 9/11? And at that point in time, he didn't respond to me. He didn't look at me. He just dropped his head, and you could see the expression on his face. He didn't say a word to me.
Yeah.
He just walked off, got in his limo, and drove off. Let's go to the phones. Alan in Texas. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. I'm curious about your statement about General Richard Myers. I'm not any fan of his, but you referred to him as a traitor. What makes you say that?
Because the Pentagon higher ups, helped engineer, they did 9/11. Well, of course, plus the Secret Services, the intelligence services, aided by certain outsiders, including Mossad. These are the guys who really make me mad. You know, Eberhardt and Myers in particular. One of the guys, Leidig, was promoted. He was in charge of the NMCC, the National Military Command Center. And this guy, Winfield, took a powder for 2 hours. Well, Leidig, he was promoted 2 ranks to the lowest rank of admiral after the wonderful job he did defending our nation for those 80 minutes.
Mm.
That's why I'm calling them traitors.
Is he retired now, Myers?
I don't think. Yeah, I think he probably is.
Or
that's
he stepped
fine.
Down from Joint
Chiefs.
I Jesus
think so.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Alan?
Yeah, just a second ago, you made a comment about if they get hold of the internet. What do you mean by that?
There was a story the other day that ran about how the government's trying to get its hooks into the internet to regulate it. And you know, look at Google, for example. DOJ trying to get the records for certain individuals about who's looking for what via the Google search engine.
Mm-hmm. And I think what the run-up to this is, if you've been watching the news, especially in the last day or so, they just caught a Homeland Security guy, a 55-year-old, soliciting sex from a 14-year-old girl. So this would be one of the ways that they could use this as a run-up to pressure Congress, or pressure them, my eye, but for Congress to take the lead to start passing legislation to control what's on the Internet.
Right, yeah. This child porn and all that stuff is a great way to blackmail people, too,
mm-hmm,
and,
right.
and convict squealers. Unjustly, of course, but I'm always suspicious about those kind of charges.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a country now, Morgan, and you and I are both old enough that if you wanted to view pornography, it was an 8 millimeter film. You had to get it mailed to you in a brown paper envelope. You didn't have triple X movie theaters on street corners of America, and this was something that wasn't promoted. I don't believe that. Porn, this is not a First Amendment issue. It is what it is. I don't know where the women's group are because it's degrading to women, but we have this plastered all over the Internet, all of our TV shows, sexual innuendos, PG-rated films and theaters now show full frontal nudity. So we keep titillating everybody with sex, 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 and then you sit back and they wonder why people are going overboard here. They're acting the way they are. It's amazing. Alan, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoying the show. Thank
okay, well, appreciate it very much. John in Minnesota. Hello, John.
Yeah, well, we've got kind of a tacky situation here in that there's no statute of limitations on murder.
Right.
And these people who are covering this up are aiding and abetting in murder.
Yes.
And they're just as guilty. So for them to sit back and say, I'm protecting my life by not saying anything or not bringing any of this evidence out, and the answer is, no, you're not. What you're doing is you're condemning yourself further for spending the rest of your life in prison or going on a gallows where you belong.
Right. I agree with John in that there's a whole raft of criminal charges that different participants can be convicted of. For example, the 9/11 commissioners, the Omission yeah. Commission or Whitewash yeah. Commission, plus Philip D. Zelikow, the chief of staff, should be convicted for being accessories to murder after the fact.
You bet.
That's just one example. There's a whole bunch of them. And since this is a conspiracy, everybody is advocates conspiracy because it's a partnership in crime. And when you convict somebody of conspiracy, everyone convicted under conspiracy charge is guilty of the most heinous crime, the most serious crime in the conspiracy. So that means they're all equally culpable for mass murder.
Well, and the problem is that we could take the lesser of the criminals, apply heat to them, and they could give up their masters.
Oh, yeah. Once this breaks open, the tools at the disposal of the prosecutors are tremendous.
But who, and here's the problem, who is going to be doing the prosecuting and who's going to be doing the leaning on people
right.
to give up their
well,
masters?
Well, until it breaks open, nobody is willing to step up, and we have the Jim Garrison example, where he was the only prosecutor that's ever tried to do this,
right.
The New Orleans prosecutor in the mid-60s.
It didn't hurt his career, did it?
No, it didn't.
That's right.
He was a man of integrity. at least with you mentioned sexual behavior. He was a sexual misbehavior, but
yeah.
When it came to the whole JFK crime. Now, ideally, the Attorney General for the state of New York would step up. That would be the most obvious candidate. Of course, it has to be outside the federal government, given that corruption.
Yeah,
but
and
Elliot Spitzer is not going to do it until we the people break it open.
Well, it's not sitting on the back burner right now, simmering. It's on the front burner, and it's on a rolling boil. So,
yes.
Hopefully, it can take that next step.
It ain't going to go away by any means. We're on the rise.
Right.
One short comment.
Yeah, Jim.
And that is, beware of the cornered rat.
And yeah, right.
We have April 19th coming up, the beginning of High Devil Days.
Yeah.
We'd like to celebrate that with blood.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
So yeah.
Warning, have your cameras at the ready. Keep your eyes open.
Yeah, that's why also I wanted to make a comment. The next time something major happens in this country, and this is a message for everybody, if you instinctively know that there's something amiss, you take your camera footage, and either off a VHS or a DVD, if you can copy it.
Yes.
Or just make it disappear so when they come out with their lies,
right,
we can bring it up and just
that's
absolutely...
That's where truth escapes in the first few hours of covering a disaster, a terrorist attack.
Exactly. John, thanks for...
OKC was a classic.
Exactly. Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it. Doug in Texas. Hello, Doug.
Yeah, hi, John. You know me. I'm in there occasionally to visit with you. But anyway, your perspective a little bit earlier. I'm sorry. I've got to disagree a little bit. I'm changing a little bit in thinking that we're getting ahead because just this morning, listening to Joyce Riley as an example, they pulled up that DOJ document that claims that they're forming documents right now to take on the fight where Bush can continue his existing presidency until the war is over. They're building the case for doing that right now. This monster is not going to go away until there's enough Americans to get over their shame and their fear and stand up and walk into Washington and take this boys down. I'm tired of this bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of the other Americans walking around shameful little children.
I'm
a lot of people are
in denial and acting infantile, covering their head in the sand. I agree.
I'm walking around asking people openly, do you think you're an American? And then proving to them they're not because they don't have a clue of what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
I'm shaming them to death.
Where are the Americans in America?
There aren't any.
You're in a pessimistic mood, Doug.
I am. I'm sorry, but I just, for us to say that we're winning, we're gaining and everything, I see, there's two sides of that perspective. Sure, we like to see the little victories we have, but, these guys are so in control, and they've got so many people under them that believe the story that they're telling, which gives them even more control over us. I don't know, fellas.
Well, but look at it from their point of view, and that is Bush's numbers are now in the 30s. I haven't seen this since the last days of Jimmy Carter and, the 800th day of the Iranian hostage crisis. And then the war in Iraq, they can't cover that up. It's 60-some percent are now want us to withdraw. And that's gone up 30 points from the early days of the invasion.
Right.
And they are just falling apart. Now, the scary part about it is will they do it again? Well, of course they will if they think they need it.
If they think they need it, but I think enough of people are suspicious right out of the box this time around, I think it would turn out a little different for them. If you want to look at my guest, Morgan Reynolds' stories, you can find them on lourockwell.com or his website, brand new website. You don't have to www it. It's nomoregames.net. Morgan Reynolds, it's been a pleasure, and we'll have you back again, sir. Thank you,
John.
All righty, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Folks, we'll see you Friday. You know what Thursdays are around here on my program.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union.
But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.